Let's bring power to food and flower. This is Hortibiz News Radio.
This is Hortibiz News Radio, live from the Green Tech 2023 in the Rai in Amsterdam. We are, it's hard for me to realize it, but we already got to our final interview of this year's Green Tech. And we're closing with a guest, another guest from Royal Brinkman, Jan-Paul de Wit. I almost want to say Jean-Paul.
That's all right.
Welcome in our
booth. Thank you.
How are you doing today?
Yes, I'm good. It was a good day on the show. Busy.
So yeah, it was
good.
Busy?
It was pretty busy, yeah. Yeah, busier than we thought it would be. So that's
okay.
Good.
Okay. So if you look back on the 3 days of Green Tech, what is your image of this year's in general?
I think it's a lot cooler than last year, for sure. Which is a good thing, because last year was pretty warm.
Yeah.
But it's a lot busier, especially the today. It's a lot busier, so yes.
Did you also attend Green Tech before COVID?
No.
Okay.
No, never.
Okay, because I hear a lot of people say that we're finally back to the pre-COVID levels.
Yes.
When it comes down to the amount of visitors and the clients.
Yeah.
And I think also regarding finally Asia being able to attend again. So that's a big change. Okay, well, maybe first we want to introduce you a little bit.
Sure.
Tell me a little bit about who you are and what you're doing for Royal Brinkman.
So my name is Jan-Paul de Wit. I am an IPM specialist in vegetables and soft fruit.
Mm-hmm.
I've been working for Brinkman now 9 years, 4 years in the Netherlands and 4 years in the UK for Brinkman.
Okay.
And we returned 1.5 years ago, and now I'm based in the north, Holland, and I have a couple of customers in the north, and I'm helping our international side with questions about IPM.
IPM stands for?
Integrated Pest Management.
Okay,
so
yeah,
and that means the bios, the chemicals, the sticky traps, everything.
Okay, so what were you doing in the UK? Why were you positioned?
So we started we started to build a business with bios 6 years ago in the UK, and it was quite successful. So they asked us, me and my family, to move to the UK. And we did, and it was mainly focused on soft fruit, because
okay.
Soft fruit in the UK is really big.
Yeah.
And vegetables is not really it's very scattered around England. It's not like the Westland, everything is just on one big pile.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a lot more soft fruit than we do.
Yeah. Okay, so how does it look like the industry of IPM in soft fruit nowadays in the Netherlands, for example?
In the Netherlands, it is growing slightly. It's getting more and more bigger and important business for us.
Yeah.
And in the past, the most of the strawberry growers are based in the south.
Mm-hmm.
But now you see other growers in the Westland, in the north, they turn their crops, or they switch from tomatoes and strawberries, for example. It's getting really, really big now, because you know it's a berry, so it's healthy, and it's a trend as well.
Yeah. So when it comes down to the pests in soft fruit, what do we see that is happening?
So the main pests are thrips, spider mite, whitefly, and a lot of funguses. Mildew,
okay.
Botrytis, Phytophthora.
Okay, and how often does the types of pests change?
Sorry?
The types of pests?
They're pretty consistent.
Is it consistent?
Yes,
okay.
and it's mainly because most of the growers are next to each other, so the pressure is always high.
Yeah.
And with some strawberry crops, it's 2 crops a year.
Mm-hmm.
So when you switch crops, it's very difficult in the summer to clean your greenhouse. So a lot of times, pests stay over.
Yeah. And is this different in the Netherlands compared to the UK?
No. Well, in the UK, they mainly grow in tunnels.
Mm-hmm.
And in Holland, it's more in greenhouses.
Okay. So but yeah, you see, yeah, it is.
And the pests are a little bit different, but you know, they're still there.
Okay, so at what point of the process do you talk with a grower?
So we start from the beginning. Our main goal is to understand the system of the grower. What
mm-hmm.
is he using? What varieties is he growing? What system does he use? Also the sprayers they use, it's very important. And with that info, we make a plan, a strategy.
Mm-hmm.
also based on what are your problems last year, what do you expect, you know, in every corner you get different pests of the world, really. So we first analyze, okay, what do we have, what are they growing, the systems, and then we make a plan. Okay. And then we have to adjust the plan along the way.
Yeah, is there usually a lot of adjustments, like, yes, based on new things, yes, happening? And
yeah, the pests, if the weather is warm, they develop faster. If the spring is warm, we got them earlier. So you always have to adjust. There is a base plan, yeah, but you always have to adjust.
Yeah, and then along the way, how do you monitor, like, changes in the greenhouse?
So we visit most customers every 2 weeks.
Okay. Yeah.
Just to keep an eye on it. Some customers they have their own scouts, so they go in the crop and they see what's going on and they make notes and they talk to us what's going on. We keep a close eye on it because development is really fast.
Yeah, and I can also imagine that there's huge global differences when it comes down to pest management.
Yes.
And of course, I guess the account managers and the specialists in different parts of the world know most about this. Is there a certain translation or, like, knowledge exchange between different parts of the world, or is it even, like, too different for that?
No, we within Bringman we have a soft fruit group, mm-hmm, so it is. They are very similar, but every country have their own pest. They are, and not in every country they grow the same. A lot of them is similar, but we always exchange knowledge all the time.
Yeah, yeah. And what are the trends now when it comes down to, well, your specialty?
We started 3 years ago with a new type of aureus. It's an aureus lavigatus, but it's a new strain or a new genotype. And it can stand colder, lower temperatures. So we can go in earlier with the aureus. And the aureus is like the cornerstone of our strategy, especially. Mm-hmm. So the sooner we get it in there, the better. The sooner we get it in there and we get the population going, the sooner we get control.
Yeah, because I also understood that there was a new strategy where it comes down to not only introducing new, how do you say it?
Yes. We introduce them and we feed them.
Yeah, okay.
So
yeah,
with the new strain Aureus Cold, we can go in earlier. And with the food, we give them the optimum circumstances to breed.
Yeah.
So if you feed Aureus protein instead of pollen, mm-hmm, there's a lot more protein in pollen than there is in power food than there is in pollen.
Okay.
So they lay more eggs, they are stronger, they run faster, they get bigger.
And is this a completely new strategy?
It's completely new, yeah. And we've been doing it now in Scotland for the third year.
Okay.
And before this, we could never get aureus going in Scotland because the season is very short and it's cold. And the last 2 years, we had great success and the threat levels, they dropped massively.
So why do you think that they never thought about, like, this strategy before?
Well, it's they thought about it, but with different insects. So agrobio is... Their feeding strategies are quite old, but it's probably the ingredients and the mix of the food that makes it work.
Okay.
Because we've been doing it with mites for a couple of years, 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
But now with aureus as well.
Okay, and how are the results? So you said in Scotland it's good?
Yes.
And in the Netherlands, have you?
As well. And we started in chrysanthemum because the chrysanthemum, the threat pressure is really high.
Mm-hmm.
And it's we could never get aureus going because there's no pollen. But now, because we feed them, they stay in the crop and they reproduce. And they're there. We build up a population and the threat levels are a lot. Yeah, they're getting less and less every year. It's still going to be there and it's always going to be a problem. But it's not going to be as economically damaging than it was before.
Yeah. So how do you look to the future of IPM? Like, do you expect certain changes in pests in general, for example, or in the strategies or the approach that we need for it?
Like, yes, yeah,
what
definitely.
Do you expect?
We see resistance for chemicals in many countries now,
yeah,
on certain insects. So we need to be even more preventative with our strategies. But especially in soft fruit, the temperatures are not in our favor. They go to 8 degrees, 10 degrees, which is too cold for most insects we use in the greenhouse. So with this new strain, for example, with the aureus, we can go in earlier,
Yeah.
So we can get them going earlier. So we have earlier and better control. And we probably have to look in with that view to other insects as well.
That's yeah. And then you talk about a more preventative approach, but I guess that's also a little bit of a bigger investment for growers, I can imagine.
Yes.
How do they look to that?
I think the good thing about where we mostly work with bios, they are used to it, so they're already introducing bios, so it's not that big of a difference.
Mm-hmm.
In new markets where they don't use a lot of bios, it's like you said, it's more difficult.
Yeah.
Because they have to put money in before there is something there.
So
right?
How do you work with it?
We normally ask the grower for a small area where he can try it.
Okay.
And then in many cases it's successful, so they see the benefit, and then next year we have a bigger area.
And are there also so growers in which it's not successful? Like, do you always need like a testing phase, for example?
Yes, it always happens. I mean, it's the circumstances.
On what does it depend?
If they got another pest and they have to spray, for example, or
okay.
if you're building up your population and you have to do something like a spray or whatever, the balance is gone, and then you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it happens all the time. Yeah.
Okay, so
that's why we want to be there every 2 weeks, just to keep an eye on it, help the grower.
Exactly.
And let them show what's going on in the crop.
Yeah. And how big of a percentage would you feel like right now is working with biological approaches?
In Holland?
Yeah.
Probably 100%.
100% is working with biological approach.
The growers, you mean? 100% of the growers.
Yeah.
Yeah, most growers use bios, yeah.
Okay.
For sure.
Okay, but the which ones and stuff like that is very dependent on.
Yes, I mean there's
situations.
Different levels, yeah, but it also depends on the crop. You got long crops, they use a lot more. They got short crops, and with a short crop, you just want to make sure the big flush of strawberries is going to be safe, and after that, you stop introducing.
Yeah.
But with the long crops, you have to keep on introducing, because otherwise, pests take over. But. I would say that most of the growers use bio these days in Holland.
And internationally?
Depends on the crop. If you look at Scotland, the early crops probably not, but it's outside in tunnels, so it's colder.
Yeah.
And again, it's just to keep that flush clean.
Yeah.
And most of the times the pest pressures are not that high. So it's probably less in outdoor crops or tunnel crops.
Yeah, I can imagine. Okay, Jan-Paul, do you think there's anything we haven't covered yet that you feel like is relevant for people listening right now?
Well, we have a new bio spreader. It's one of the Unimite series machines, and it's called the Bio Blaster.
What is the big benefit of this one, the Bio Blaster? Sounds very impressive.
Yes,
though.
Yeah, it's a bit of a it's a funny name, isn't it? But it's a handheld blower, which is very useful for smaller areas.
Okay.
And what it does, you put your mites in, and you can put in food as well. And the machine mixes it and makes sure the mites don't all walk up the machine.
Yeah.
So it keeps it nice and, how do you say that, it's...
Yeah, I have now an image in my head of like the thing that you use to blow leaves away.
It's a similar thing, but we modified it heavily.
Yeah, okay, yes. I can imagine.
Yeah.
Okay, and this one is already launched?
It will be launched very soon.
Okay.
We're in prototype number 2, but number 3 should be the one. And there's a lot of interest today in that machine.
Because you're already showcasing it on the GreenTech here?
Yes, it's here on the GreenTech.
Okay.
And we promote it to growers that have smaller areas, propagators with low crops, when you can blow it over your crop, and you can do 1,000 meters really, really quickly.
Okay, and when do you think it's available?
I think it will be available in 2 months.
In 2 months?
Yeah.
Okay, so that would be August.
Yeah, the first
September.
Ones, yes. Yeah.
September, something like that.
Probably, yeah.
Okay, anything else that you want people to remember or to know?
We covered most of it.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
So if a grower wants to learn more about IPM, where do they go?
They go to our website, royalbrinkman.nl or .com.
Okay.
And we have a knowledge center there. And in that knowledge center, there's free information on pests, on hygiene, on pest control, on IPM. So if you need any answers, go to the website.
Okay, thank you so much, Jan-Paul De Wit from Royal Brinkman. Thanks so much for being here and for sharing your knowledge. I think it was a beautiful conversation.
This is Hortibiz News Radio.